May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 988. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat, oh tell me where? Learning, pleasure, wealth and fame, all cry out, it is not here. 988.
Lord, from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read in the Gospel of John, and reading part of chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we'll read to the end of verse 33. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word. And may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy and most gracious God, do draw us, Lord, to thee now at this evening hour. Lord, we come to seek a portion for our soul and to come in true thanksgiving and praise unto thee for all thy many mercies toward us. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity and privilege to be able to gather freely in thy name. And we ask, Lord, thou wilt fulfil thy promise, that where even two or three are gathered together in thy name, there thou art in the midst of them. And our desire is, Lord, that thou shalt be the glory in our midst this night. Lord, as we look and think and meditate into and upon thy word, oh, may we see Jesus in all his redeeming power, in all his redeeming love, and to know that power within our own hearts. Oh, Lord, do make this time a time of thine appearing. Lord, if we've come this night with hardness of heart, we pray thou wilt break them. Lord, if any are here with a broken heart, We pray thou wilt heal them. And so, Lord, may we know this night here the unity of thy Spirit, the bond of thy peace, as we look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast brought us safely to this moment of time. We thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word, which we have in our own tongue. And Lord, we thank thee for the portion, the many portions it contains. And so, Lord, as we gather beneath thy word, we pray for the gift of thy Spirit, that we may have that divine interpreter to reveal the truth as it is in Jesus unto our never dying souls. O Lord, we are so temporal here upon this earth. We know not the length of our days. Lord, teach us to consider our latter end. For all of us have one, not knowing when that is. But, O Lord, prepare us for that time when we shall leave time for eternity. And prepare us, Lord, to stand before thy face. Lord, who give us that good hope through thy grace, that we may plead the precious name of Jesus in that dying hour, and have that sweet hope through faith that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. O Lord, do give us some sweet token as we journey on in our daily lives. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above. Then, Lord, we shall know what we have sung. Happiness, thou lovely name. Where that seat is, we shall have been told. O Lord, so may it be for each one of us, younger and older. Lord, we pray for those unable to be here tonight, for whatever the reason. Lord, be with our friend the deacon away in America. We pray, Lord, thou wilt bring him safely back. Lord, uphold him and help him in all things. Grant him thy presence at all times. Lord, some perhaps away and on holiday at this time, watch over them and keep them safe in thy care. Some perhaps detained by duty and responsibility. Lord, do grant thy presence with them and hear the prayers that are put up to thee. Lord, there may be some who are unwell. Lord, we commend them to thee also, that thou, Lord, wilt appear for their health and for their strength, that they may come again here and worship thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, thou knowest each of our hearts. Thou knowest all that has taken place with each of us in the earlier part of this day. Lord, thou knowest all our sins and all our transgressions. And Lord, we would bear them before thee in humble confession. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, do blot out all our transgressions. Do yet love us freely. Lord, there are those this day who've had their heartaches, their sorrows, their troubles, their difficulties. Lord, and has there not been those cries up unto thee, Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Lord, appear for my good. Oh, then, Lord, may it be that that has been the case. Thou hast helped them hitherto. And oh, could it be thy will confirm it, or with a word following. Lord, we do pray thou wilt hear and answer all the many petitions that are put up to thee, even from this place. Lord, was there not prayer here last night? Lord, then hear and answer those petitions that were put up to thee. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon the preached word. Lord, this night now, oh, do come and speak through thy word. And may it be at all times. Lord, may there be a thus saith the Lord to meet each and every case. Make thy messengers the messengers in thy message. Lord, so grant many blessings in the assembling together here in thy name, the blessings of the soul, the helps in the pathway of life, the strengthening of faith, the increase in that trust in thee, Lord, that maintaining in hope of eternal life. Lord, we do ask that thou wilt remember thy people everywhere, not only in our own land, but throughout the world. Lord, there are those who suffer much for thy name's sake. Lord, those who are greatly persecuted by their enemy, the enemy of thy truth. Lord, we commend them to thee, that thou wilt preserve them from their enemy. And if they are to suffer much, Lord, for thy name's sake, oh, do increase and strengthen faith and the knowledge of thy redeeming love. Lord, may their anchor be in that which no man can take away from them. Lord, those who are in trouble through warfare, violence, famine, disease, oh Lord, we do pray thou wilt relieve them and supply their need. May they know that truth as we read of in thy word, my God shall supply all thy need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And though, Lord, in times of troubles and fears, give them cause, Lord, to return true thanksgiving and praise up unto thee. Lord, that gracious hand upon which we all live, Lord, do supply our need. Forgive us where we take so much for granted. Lord, do forgive us when there is not true thanksgiving in our heart. Lord, forgive us when we grumble and repine at the smallest thing that is contrary to our own mind and will. Lord, such wretches we are. Oh, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. But Lord, we look unto thee once more, for thou knowest our frame. Thou rememberest that we are but dust. Lord, have mercy upon us and uphold us day by day in thy loving tender care. Lord, we pray thou wilt forgive the many sins of our nation. Lord, we are part of this nation and we are sinners. Lord, we are no better than anyone else. But Lord, we are grieved because of those things which are openly done, contrary to the counsel of thy word. We pray for our parliament. We pray for our government. Lord, draw near and influence their hearts and minds, and turn them aside from all the evil and all the error of their ways. And Lord, do not let those that delight in these abominations that are now permitted under the law of our land to have an effect within the churches. Lord, maintain to us our freedom of worship. Lord, to preach the whole counsel of God, to practice the fullness of the Christian faith. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast maintained it to us for so many years. We pray thou wilt maintain it to us for years to come. For ourselves, for our children, for the children's children, as long, Lord, as the earth remains. And may there be many yet, Lord, to be called by grace. Many, Lord, to find in thee a precious salvation. Many yet to be sinners, saved by grace. Lord, remember the young people, those here tonight. We commend them to thee. Lord, in all their ways, in education, occupation, Lord, in friendships, relationships, in the marriage bond, bringing up children, Lord, they need thee at every hour of every day. Oh, Lord, do hear their prayers. Lord, may they know that thou art their God in heaven and they are thy people. We can ask no greater blessing for them or for each of us. So, Lord, hear us in all these things. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O, do forgive. We ask it in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, and for He Himself to speak unto us through His holy word. And ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, from which we read, and verse 21. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 21. The same, that is these Greeks, came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. In particular, those last few words uttered by these Greeks, Sir, we would see Jesus. This 21st verse of this 12th chapter of John's Gospel. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. What a privilege it was for these Greeks who had come up to Jerusalem to be found on the earth at that time in the place where Jesus was to be found. There were many at this time in Jerusalem, and many came seeking Jesus because they'd heard of the miracles that he had done. Even that wicked King Herod desired to see Jesus. He desired to see a miracle at the hand of the Lord Jesus. But dear friends, many that saw Jesus did not believe on him. It is not just looking, it's not just seeing. There has to be a gracious effect. Now, just previous to this, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. We read how Lazarus had been sick, and Mary and Martha had sent unto Jesus. How they longed to see Jesus come. But Jesus delayed his coming. And in that delaying, in that time, Lazarus died. And there was grief and sorrow, of course, in the hearts of Mary and Martha. But Jesus had said it was to be for the glory of God. No, dear friends, we question, don't we, the Lord's work at times. When things don't happen in the time frame as which we consider they should happen. Even in answer to our prayers. It's as if Jesus hasn't heard us. He hasn't come to help us. But that does not mean to say the matter is finished. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With him all things are possible. Oh, the case of Lazarus was impossible, wasn't it? He was sick. No man could cure him. He died. But Jesus came and spoke to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It wasn't just Jesus being there and seeing him. It was believing on him. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Oh, the witness that he was the Son of God, the resurrection and the life, that only through him one can live, one soul can live forever and ever. Jesus spoke later, saying, roll away the stone. Martha said, he's been dead 4 days already. Behold, he stinketh. Jesus said, said I not unto thee, if thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God. Thou shalt see the glory of God. Oh, this seeing and believing, which go so close together. And so they rolled away the stone. And Jesus spoke with that loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Dear friends, there's no limit, is there, to the power of the word of God when it is heard. Even by those who are dead, yes, in trespasses and in sins. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Oh, what a witness. The power of God. What a witness to Christ, the Son of God. His union, his unity with the Father and with the Spirit. You know, dear friends, where Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. We don't find, I don't think, any time Jesus came to where there was a death. And there was not life given. Jairus' daughter, the one who was brought out of Cana, the widow's son on that bier being carried out, Lazarus himself. Oh, the witness, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The power of sin, the power of death, put away, destroyed through the power of the presence and the voice, the word, the being, the will of God. Dear friends, is Christ the same yesterday, today and forever? We're not talking here things that are theoretical, things that once took place, things that are now a bygone. The same Jesus yet reigns today. The resurrection and the life. And oh, how we, being born dead in trespasses and in sins, need the gift of this life divine through Jesus Christ. Many, we read, believed on Jesus. When they saw the miracle that he'd done. And we read in this chapter that many came to Bethany, not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, dear friends, this raising of Lazarus from the dead had two effects. The one effect was to cause a heart to believe. The other effect was to harden the heart in unbelief. For there were those who went away and told these things unto the Pharisees. We read, didn't we, that the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. How solemn, dear friends, there will always be in this world those hardened hearts in spite of the knowledge and the witness of the truth. I wonder if such a line comes down this church, this chapel tonight. Each of us have heard much concerning the truth as it is in Jesus. Are we hardened to that truth? We have no desire for the Lord to rule in our heart. We say in our heart, I will not have this man to rule over me. I desire mine own way. I desire my own thoughts, mine own will. I will live to the good of myself in this world as long as I have breath. Dear friends, that's the description of the broad way, isn't it? And the wide gate, which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Many. The Lord Jesus spoke also of the narrow way, and he said, few there be that find it. Jesus went up into Jerusalem, we read. He went as it was written of him. And many had come to the feast of the Passover. And there were also these Greeks, these Gentiles. They'd heard of Jesus. They'd heard of the miracles that he had done. No doubt they'd heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, because that seems to be what was being spoken of here. And they came, and perhaps someone pointed out Philip, who was one of Jesus' disciples. And they came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Perhaps there was a measure of inquisitiveness there. And dear friends, if it was just inquisitiveness, it would have gone no further than that, would it? But if there was a work of the Holy Spirit, then dear friends, there would be more than just a seeing. There would be a believing. Jesus answered Philip and Andrew when they came and told Jesus. He says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He came to give his life, a ransom for many, Jews and Gentiles, all that the Father had given him. They shall come. He says, they shall come. And he would raise them up again at the last day, because his work would be manifest within them, that they would be believers in his death, in his resurrection, in that shed blood. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now there is no other way. These Jews said, these Greeks said, sir, we would see Jesus. Are any of you in such a frame as that tonight? Are this the desire of your heart? Are these the words on your lips? We would see Jesus. Perhaps in particular you younger one, people. We would see Jesus. Perhaps it's been, you've been a witness to something the Lord has done. Perhaps the Lord has dealt mercifully, spiritually, graciously, to the conversion of the soul of perhaps one of your family. A dear loved one. You may view it in a church member. And you've seen there's been a change. What they once were, they are now different. They now have such a love to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have such a reverence to the things of God. They have such a prayerful dependence upon the Lord in all things. A prayerful dependence. They seem to have such a tender spirit. And they seem to be filled with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all they say, in all they do. Walking in the fear of the Lord. And what a change that has been to what they once were. And you know it's the Lord's work. The Lord has had mercy. The Lord has appeared. It's as it were with the Apostle Paul who said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, what a change, hath shined in our heart to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And there's been that view by faith. And that has changed the heart. It's renewed the will. It's turned those feet to Zion's hill, where Christ is the altogether lovely one, the chiefest amongst 10,000. And one loves him because he first loved them. And your desire is, we would see Jesus. Think our hymn we've just sung. It touches upon this, doesn't it? Thou friend of friendless sinners, hear and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed that pants to reach thy promised rest. And also that opening hymn we've sung, happiness, where is it? And in that hymn there was this line, wasn't there? Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me. Oh, I hope those hymns have come from your heart tonight. And may the Lord hear and answer and give you that which you need. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, we don't behold Jesus with our mortal eyes as these Greeks could. Is that going to be a hindrance? Oh, poor Thomas, one of the Lord's disciples, when Jesus rose from the dead, was not there when Jesus appeared to his disciples in the upper room on that first day of the week. But after 8 days, Thomas was with them and Jesus came in the midst. Thomas had said, "Except I see the prints of the nails and put my finger into them, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe, I will not believe." But when he saw Jesus with his mortal eyes and saw the wounds of Jesus, and it was revealed to him they were for his sin, he fell at the Lord, isn't he, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus says, "Thomas, because thou hast seen and hast believed, now because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are they that have not seen with their mortal eyes and yet have believed. Now, dear friends, that was the case with the early church, wasn't it? All those that came into the knowledge of the love and the saving grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, they hadn't seen Jesus with their mortal eyes, no. He'd been taken from the earth. He'd ascended up into heaven. He'd led captivity captive, there to be until the end of time, a sitting on the right hand of the Father, till all the enemies be made his footstool. No, we cannot see the Lord Jesus with our mortal eyes. But Jesus had prayed for those of whom he spoke to, of Thomas. He'd already prayed for them before he suffered. Oh, that lovely John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus, where he prays, "Neither pray I for these," as his immediate disciples, "alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Those who shall believe on me through their word, the preached word, that which the Lord had sent them to do, to preach concerning Christ, his death, his resurrection, throughout all the world. And that word was to go forth to have free course and be glorified. And this is what we find, wasn't it, as they went out, the Apostle Paul, going to Thessalonica. When he wrote to them, he said, "His gospel was not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." They received the word as the word of God, not as the word of man. Now, dear friends, that's what our prayers need to consist of, isn't it? The prayer of a seeking soul. A prayer of one today who says, "Oh, we would see Jesus. Lord, make that gospel to be in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance unto my soul." Dear friends, that's a good prayer. Jesus said here concerning his sufferings and his death, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Now who is he going to draw unto himself? Sinners who need salvation. Sinners. And that's where we need the Word, isn't it? To be in power and in the Holy Ghost, for he shall convince of sin. And dear friends, if we are made guilty sinners, we shall be drawn to the cross of Christ. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, Jews and Gentiles, unto me. As those who were stung by those serpents in the wilderness in the time of Moses, they knew they were going to die. They knew there was nothing that could heal them, except they looked by faith to that serpent which Moses lifted up upon that pole. And they that looked, they lived. Now that look was the look of faith, believing that it would deliver them from the sting of death. Now the sting of death is sin, isn't it? And only Christ can deliver our soul from death. And where this gospel, dear friends, goes out in all its sound, it draws sinners unto Christ. It draws them into this sacred truth that he, the Son of God, the Holy One, the just, the pure, the undefiled, took upon himself the sins of others, the sins of all that the Father had given him, that he should pay the price for sin, the ransom price, that he, being made sin for them, should cause them to be made the righteousness of God in him, all sin blotted out. All this was the blessing. It was the blessing which the Lord Jesus prayed for under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, under the sound of the preaching of Christ, who suffered, bled and died on Calvary's cross to bear the sins of many. The blessing, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. For this shall every one that is godly pray for in a time when he mayest be found. Dear friends, if the desire of your heart is, sir, we would see Jesus, then is this not the drawing of the Lord toward himself? The object of your chief desire, Jesus crucified for you. To look upon him whom you have pierced. This look by faith. And so we read of, we don't read, the eye of faith. The eye of faith to give these believing views in Jesus. That eye of faith is given by that gift of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus says shall testify of me. Shall testify of me. And reveal Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Dear friends, it's through this that a soul such as you say, I'm a sinner. Jesus is the Saviour. And there's your happiness. There's your rest. Complete in him. Your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Mercy through blood, here was your prayer. Maybe it is tonight, I hope it is. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. The Lord drawing you unto himself to give you that eye to see him in all his suffering, in all his sorrows. And oh, those words He spoke to his disciples, all this is done for you, for you. Dear friends, that breaks the sinner's heart, doesn't it? And weeps for the mercy that is found. Happiness, thou lovely name. Where's thy seat, O tell me where? A hard, impenitent heart broken, made soft through the knowledge of the redeeming love of Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus is the answer to that prayer. Now, dear friends, it's not just once, is it? Those of you who've known this sweet view of a precious Saviour, you who've had your eye of faith opened to view this truth as it is in Jesus to the blessing of your soul, you long to see him again and again and again and again by faith, don't you? Oh, the Lord knows how to cause you to be dependent upon these sweet visits of his. You know, my mind goes to those disciples after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus sent his disciples away. He sent them back over the other side of the sea. And they went alone. You know, dear friends, there may be times when in your pathway you feel the absence of the Lord Jesus. There isn't a sweet sense of his presence with you, even though you feel, you know, you're in the pathway that the Lord has placed you. And he causes you much sorrow and much grief. He did these disciples, because as they went, the storm arose. And Jesus wasn't with them in the boat. They toiled in rowing. Dear friends, what would be their desire? Their desire would be to see Jesus. That he would be with them. Now the Lord hadn't forsaken them, had he? The Lord's eye, we read, was upon them, even from that mountain where he was praying. He saw them toiling in rowing. He wouldn't let them be tempted above what they were able to bear. He came to them walking on that water, that which was the great trouble to them, the waves and the wind. Came over all that power. Well, he was the creator of it all. Everything was subject unto him. And when they saw him, they thought they'd seen a ghost. They cried out, thinking it was a spirit. But the Lord said, be not afraid, it is I. And they received him into the boat. And oh, what joy they received him. And there was a calm. The wind abated, the waves ceased. And I think it's in John's Gospel. They were immediately at the place where they went. Oh, the difference. How we have to learn, don't we? How the Lord teaches us to value him more and more as we go on in our daily lives. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's every step of our days, isn't it? Every step in the pathway of life. Every morning when we wake up, the Lord's presence to be with us. That we see the witness of him in all our doings, in all our goings. And to cast our care upon him. It's the Apostle Paul, isn't it? Writing to the Hebrews, who speaks of the pathway of the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We see him, we view him by faith, and by faith alone. He's the author of it, the beginner of it. He sends the Spirit to give us that faith and to believe on Him. And He that hath begun that good work in you, dear friends, He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, to the very end. He's the author, He's the finisher of our faith. That means, dear friends, He's in everything from the beginning to the end. The end of faith. When is there a finishing of our faith? When we behold Him face to face in glory. No faith is needed then, is there? To behold Him as He beholds us. To see Him without any glass, as it were, between. Nothing clouded by our earthly being, our own flesh and evil heart and all the sin and iniquity that hides Him from our sight now. But to be forever with the Lord. Oh, there's a beautiful sense, isn't there, of this text there? That you'll never get away from. I shall never get away from it. We would see Jesus. See Him in all His glory. See Him in the fullness of His glory. To behold Him face to face. Oh, when we come down to our dying moments. We know not when that will be. How it will be. But oh dear friends, this is the Christ now. To all those who are watching and waiting for His appearing, we would see Jesus, delivered from this earthly clay, delivered from the power of sin, delivered from all the grief and sorrow that comes in this life, a realization of that believed on by faith. A realization of that hope set within you, that good hope through grace. A realization of the precious promise of God, the promise of Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The work of Christ. Dear friends, without the knowledge of that work within our heart and soul, oh, what will it be like when we come to that day? It will be a day of dread, a day of the utmost sorrow, a day of the utmost grief, that which will be darkness forevermore. May the Lord hear an answer. All your petitions this night, especially, sir, we would see Jesus. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 28. Blessed Spirit of Truth, Eternal God, Thou meek and lowly Dove, who girds the soul through Jesus' blood with faith and hope and love. Number 28.
O Lord, do bless thine own word unto us, and hear the prayers of our hymns this night. Lord, may they enter in to the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth, and may we know those answers to the peace and comfort of our souls. Lord, at this time of the year, when we particularly remember the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be that we shall see Jesus by faith, or reconciled by his death, and more so saved by his life. Oh, make these things real within us, that we may have strength sufficient for each day, and faint not, but endure to the end. So, Lord, hear our prayers, bless thy word, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us, even for evermore. Amen.